Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We're back right here in the cozy confines of 93.7 The Fan. Bob Pompiani, Austin Bechtel today. Joe is enjoying a vacation day. He'll be back on Friday. 412-928-9370. That's the number, 412-928-9370. Before we get to our six-pack, brought to you by Bet365, I just like hearing that sound, so I'm going to keep talking about that. I know you do. Let's go out to Greg in Youngstown, who is on the Fan hotline right now. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Bob. Happy New Year's.
You too.
City Limits. Hey, City Limits, you have his own show. He really deserves to have his own show on your network.
I complimented him 2 days ago, or when I was driving around, and I heard you, and very much in command, yes.
Thank you, Bob.
He's really good. Let me just make a point real quick. The way the season's going for the Steelers, and I read an article from Mark Madden, I think it's a Trib, and he made a good point. I mean, this is what I want to see. It's what a lot of fans want to see. If this doesn't go well, they have to part ways with Tomlin and Omar Khan. And then, like he was saying, don't sign Wilson, trade Pickens, trade Watt, move on, rebuild the team, try to get that coach of Detroit, and let's change this culture. Because if they go into next season the same way we went into this season at the end, we're gonna have 9 wins, maybe less, because Cincinnati's going to be a lot better next year. So if they think they're going to be better next year with the same way they're doing things, it's not going to work.
Well, I would also say, you know, I think before that all happens, number one, I think Omar's only in year number two here. That's not going to happen. He works well with Andy Weidel. I think, you know, both those guys have a lot of say in what goes on. And I think they've done some good things there. I also think they failed in a couple of things, just like most GMs do. What I will say, Greg, is I think, you know, over the years, the assistant coaches under Mike Tomlin are not as good as some of the others that we've seen around the league. And that's something that needs to change. I'm not sure why. My guess is that, you know, Mike Tomlin is the authority figure in that organization, and he sets the agenda. Sometimes, though, you got to go out and defer and get some people who can make a difference in your team and do it, you know, and have fresh ideas. I mean, you mentioned Ben Johnson. I really like what he's been able to do there now in a couple of years, and it looks like Dan Campbell gives him the reign to do pretty much as he is. We saw a hook and ladder play the other night in the San Francisco game. So that, you know, I don't think you're going to see change there, though, to be honest. They signed him to a three-year deal for that reason.
Bob, you remember 91 when Noel was at the end. He was at the end.
But that was a mutual thing. I think that was a mutual thing.
Well, I don't know about that one either. But, okay, you say one thing, I heard other things, too. I think Rooney was fed up. So it, when Cowher comes in, it brings a spark to that organization. I mean, that organization was dying at that point. It really was. And Cowher comes in, revitalizes this organization to where it's at now. And it's the same thing with Tomlin. I think the majority of the fans, probably 70% of them, don't want Tomlin anymore. Why doesn't Rooney listen to the fans? Why is he so big-headed?
Well, I mean, first of all, and thanks, Greg. You make some very interesting points. I know that. And what I'll say is that you're not going to listen to people who are more fanatics than anything else. And there are a lot of people out there who have that opinion. And I'm not saying that they could be wrong. What I'm saying is, generally speaking, people are not going to listen to what fans say. Should you have an ear and be mindful of what's going on? Sure. But, you know, this season isn't over. I'm going to remind you of that. This is still, even though it's three losses in a row, and I'm going to break down how bad those losses have been in a minute, but they still have a chance to win a game, get some momentum, and go on the road and win. And we'll see what happens then. I kind of liken it to what, you know, James Franklin situation. Fans. Ryan Day, fans. Fans are never satisfied. You can't listen to fans who are never satisfied. You just can't. You got to make what you think are the best decisions, and they could be wrong, but you got to make what you think is right. So with regard to Russell Wilson, you brought that up as well, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Because, Austin, we mentioned this yesterday. I am right now not committed to either quarterback at this point. I want to see more from Russell Wilson, and I certainly know that age is a factor in this. The Steelers are coming off a game in which they scored a season-low 10 points. It was their largest loss of 19. They've had three consecutive double-digit losses, and the last time that's happened, you'd have to go back to 1988. Double-digit losses. Now, you can argue in two of those games they were actually in it in the fourth quarter, and then things changed. But here's Russell Wilson's numbers, weeks 7 through 14, his first on the job when he went 6-1, versus the last 3 weeks. And again, you have to factor in the competition because you're dealing with some of the elite teams in the NFL. But if you pride yourself on being one of these teams or knocking on the door, you better win them. And they're 0-3 in those three games. They've only scored 13 points per game. They've given up 30, which is another problem right now. Passing yards, only 155. Turnover, minus 2. And while I understand why coaches talk about turnovers, your defense has got to do more than just count on turnovers to make things happen. You cannot rely exclusively on turnovers as your base to make things happen on defense. Yes, weeks 7 through 14, Russell Wilson went 6-1. They scored 28 again. Defense allowed 9 fewer points. They were plus 10. My point here is that turnovers are fine, but there are going to be games where you don't give them. That doesn't mean you can't stop teams. You still have to figure out ways to limit what teams can do. And in the last three games, their defense, and I cite one example more than any, it was that fumble by Russell Wilson at the 4-yard line of Baltimore. That was a terrible play. It was on him. I understood what he was trying to do. The defense could have bailed him out there. They're at their own 4-yard line.
Yeah,
instead, they go 96
yards
for a touchdown. That's the you know, you talk about complementary football and why it's a problem. So these problems are not just your quarterback related or offensive related. That's a big part of it. But the defense has to be a lot better.
The $130 million defense, I should add, Bob. The highest paid defense in all of football. That is having communication issues in week 17, which should not happen. One of the main crux for my argument on the quarterbacks, because I'm not sold on either of them as well, and I don't like the quarterback class that's coming out of the draft too, so you're in a really tough situation, is that Russell Wilson was brought here to win these types of games. Now, I'm not saying they should have won all three. I'm not even saying they should have won two, but at least win one of these three games against the teams that you try to compare yourself to. I'm sure internally they compare themselves to Philadelphia. They compare themselves to Kansas City. They sure as hell should compare themselves to Baltimore. They'd beaten them 8 out of the last 10 games. So yeah. Russell Wilson was brought here to win at least one of those games, to be the difference in one of those games, and he was the difference in the wrong way in the Baltimore game.
He was, and the pick six was his worst throw, and again, he's here to do it. That team wants to win now. It's much like the Penguins in many ways. They have to win now. They're doing it with veteran players. He was brought here for that reason. There's still a lot of football left, and this is why when you analyze, I think, seasons and players, you can't have knee-jerk reactions every week. It's not a week-to-week thing. Look at the entire body of work. They started well. I think they knew they had to, given the schedule that would lie ahead in weeks 15, 16, and 17. But they failed in those weeks. You would like to have won at least one of those games, and they wouldn't be in this predicament they're in right now, which is they lost control of their destiny to win an AFC North championship. But again, if you come out in this game, you play well, you shut down Joe Burrow, defensively make some plays, next thing you know, the offense gets cranking. It's something positive to take into the first game, which is, if you're going to be against Houston, that's probably the best. It's like Penn State taking on SMU or Boise State. That's the best way for you to start in this field right now, because I don't think you want to tangle with Baltimore. 412-928-9370, we have Seth on Long Island. Happy New Year, Seth. Thanks for calling in today.
Hey, Happy New Year, Bob. Happy New Year, Austin. Again, great show. Austin doing a hell of a job. Bob, I called in yesterday. I spoke to you guys yesterday, and you know the thing about a quarterback, right? So the other caller said he read that article from Mark Madden. I read it as well. I don't know if you go full rebuild and kind of what he was intimating, but the quarterback situation is untenable. And in the macro view, you know, you got to have a quarterback that's going to get you. A quarterback has to elevate the players around him, right? So if you look at all the years with Tom Brady, he elevated no names for the better part of his career. So we've got to get someone that can do that. I believe it's Justin Fields. I know there's a lot, you know, you haven't seen a huge sample size from him, but I believe that it's you know, and you can't go back to him now, right, going into the end of the season.
You could utilize him a little bit more, I think, though. You may not have to go back to him, but, right, I think you can utilize him.
No question. And I think that they need to really take a hard look at that because, you know, yesterday you and Jason were talking about money as well. You know, Russ is, you know, he's not going to take a hometown discount to the extent that I think people think he will. I don't think he's worth 30 or 40. But, you know, Justin Fields wants to start, right? He's a young dude. You know, get him out there, man. Would he start for $20 million? I think he might start for 15 to 20 to be the starter if he knew he was going to be the starter. So, you know, that's my take. And the defense, again, the defense is a huge issue. We've got to correct that. So I appreciate the call, man.
Thank you, Seth. Appreciate that. We were talking defensively about how Brian Flores was here and no longer here. And, man, he has done wonderful work with the Minnesota Vikings, who find themselves in a winner-take division and number one seed game on Sunday night against Detroit. It's hard to believe that you're going to have a 14-win team not in the top four positions of the NFC. They're going to be a five seed.
That is very strange.
That's crazy.
I wouldn't change the format based off of that. You know, it's like remember the arguments that were always made about the 98-win Pirates having to play in a one-game wild card? And I'm glad they eventually made it a three-game playoff. What would you do to change that? Like, if people were griping about it, I don't think there's anything you can do.
It's an anomaly. It happens once in a while, and this is one of them. And this division is loaded with good teams, not counting the Chicago Bears. That's one of the reasons why these teams have as many teams, because they feast on them, just like New England for years feasted on all the East teams, like Buffalo's doing now.
Yeah,
you know. And so, with regard to Russell Wilson, I am not making any final decisions until I see everything play out. And we'll see. As far as Justin Fields, I think if I'm going to make a choice for the future, it would likely be him based on his age. And I think he's made strides here. And I think if he has some consistency in his corner as opposed to what he had in Chicago, you can see a difference there. So these are all topics are going to come up. The wide receiver topic is going to come up. I saw that Roman Wilson was activated yesterday.
How much
can he do at this point? I don't know. He certainly can't play this week. Could he play in the playoffs? Maybe. And will he make a difference? You never know. But he originally was the guy they were counting on to come in here, and then his whole season went down the drain. All right, we're going to go out to the fan hotline. George Michalowski, Pittsburgh Sports Now. He is here talking about Pitt today. And it's interesting, as we talked about here, George, that this is unusual and maybe a sign of the times, that the ACC opener is Pitt hosting Cal, followed by Stanford. The first two opponents are teams from way on the other side of the country.
Wild, isn't it? I mean, they got lucky that they don't have to travel out there this year, but it's honestly a favorable matchup like we talked about the other day. It's like this two-game stretretch here, we could see Pitt at 3-0 in the ACC, and with the respect to Cal and Stanford and Virginia Tech too, like, could be an easy path. I mean, put 15-point favorites today. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, and the fact that they've done well at home here now. This is churning up memories of, you know, a late-day Jamie Dixon or late-day Ben Howland. They've won 13 consecutive games, I think it is, at the Pete. And I don't know what the longest streak is. You probably do, but it's 13 is very much similar to what they used to do back in their heyday when they were with you know, the Big East Conference, and winning games at the P was almost automatic for them. That's a long streak, yeah. And it's something for them to continue to build on.
It is, yeah. I mean, on top of that, they've been one of the best road teams in the country over the past three years, actually. So it's not just that they're getting the job done at home. I mean, they are, and again, like we talked about earlier this year, some of those early opponents weren't the toughest in the world. But it's important to win these early season games. We've seen the other bottom half ACC teams struggle against mid-major schools, and Pitt's got the job done so far. They're winning games by 15, 20, 30, 40 against these mid-major schools. So this seems fun to watch. I mean, it's not like they're just a boring team getting by at home again. Like, they're blowing teams out, and they've got so many different ways to kill you. And they have a superstar. They have Jalen Lowe, who's being projected as the first-round NBA draft pick.
And that would be back-to-back years where you have those lottery picks potentially there. Jalen Lowe has been terrific. He's averaging over 16 a game. And you don't have guards that are as active in rebounding. And maybe that's a sign, a bad sign for them, given the fact that they need more inside play, I think, more consistent play inside. Guards should not be averaging, what are they averaging, like 6-7 rebounds a game each? That's a lot for guards, isn't it?
It is. It is. And Ish Leggett was actually the leading rebounder on last year's team. So it's not the worst thing in the world, I will say, but Cam Corin should be averaging more than 5 rebounds a game. He's a big physical athletic center. Zach Austin's helped a bit, but he's still only at 4 a game. I agree with you. I'd like to see those two above Ish Leggett and Jalen Lowe on the rebounding chart. But it's not the end of the world. I think it could be the Achilles heel of this team come March is if they can't, if they run into a physical team like Mississippi State and what's looking like the entire SEC actually now. But right now I'm not concerned about it. It's going to be interesting to see how many minutes Capel gives Papa Conte today, how many minutes Capel gives Delalich today, because those guys are rotation guys who kind of got their shine a few games in the non-conference schedule, but they still have skills. Like Papa Conte came in against Ohio State, which is one of Pitt's best wins on the year, and had an excellent game, scoring and rebounding. Delalich is shooting 44% from three, and that's what he was known for coming in. But it's like, how can they get him shots in these next two games before you know the bulk of ACC play starts?
To your point about rebounding, Pitt is 10-0 on the season when they tie or win the rebound battle in their two losses. And you know, Mississippi State was the most glaring. They've been out rebounded by a combined 22 boards in those losses. So you can't, you know, if you find a big physical team, which team in the ACC would pose that problem to them more so than others?
Oh man, I mean, there's a lot of physicality. I look to Duke. I know it's the chalk answer because they're the best team in the league, but they've got a guy, Kamon Maluak, who is an absolute stud down low. He's physical, he's long. I think he's got like a 7'4" wingspan or something. And that team has big guards. Like last year, they had Jared McCain. This year, they've got those big guards again. And that team's going to be tough. I mean, we're going to see that coming up here soon after these Stanford and Cal games. They're going to travel down to Cameron. That's going to be a real test. I think that's the most similar test that they'll have to Mississippi State, whereas, you know, they just got walloped on the glass and overall. But I think the ACC as a whole is down this year. I don't think North Carolina has any dominant big. That's kind of been one of their issues. Austin knows this as a Tar Heel fan. No Baycott is hurting them. And it's going to be interesting, but I honestly think this is a year where Pitt can finish in the top 4, top 5 in the ACC, even if we go into March and still seeing, you know, oh, they could rebound better, they could do this. I think they could win a lot of conference games that way. I do think Clemson, as we saw last year, can bully this team. I think that's possible. So that's a huge game coming up at home, too.
George, how big of a loss is Damian Dunn? Because, I mean, we really haven't been able to see it too much over the last stretch of games. When do you expect him to be back, and how big of an impact will it be?
Yeah, it's a huge loss. I mean, he was playing really good basketball. Not only was he their best shooter at the time of his injury, but he's just a calming presence. Like, he's that veteran. There's a reason they went out and they tried to get him twice in the transfer portal. They missed on him the first time when he went to play for Kelvin Sampson at Houston. And Capel said, like, the second we saw him go back in the portal, that was our guy. So to lose a guy like that who's a one-year, I don't want to say rental, but a one-year grad transfer guy, it stinks. I mean, it's a huge loss. Like, this team really was built with Damian Dunn as a centerpiece, as one of the guys, as one of the backcourt leaders. And he's a physical guy. I mean, he's 6'5", 200 plus. Like, this guy could, you know, play receiver in the NFL at his size. He's a big dude. He can guard bigger guards, bigger wings. So, he was playing good ball, and I know he didn't play much because of foul trouble in that first game at the Greenbrier, but he really was making a massive impact, and I think they're going to hope to get him back for those Duke and Louisville games coming up. I mean, I don't know. We got to get an update from Capel today after the game, so I'll keep you guys posted next week, but I think they're going to want to get him back for those Duke and Louisville games. no rush to get him back for Florida State. That team struggled, and they've been in the news lately. But Clemson on January 18th at home is the game I just referenced a bit ago, as that's going to be a tough game. And I think that may be the game where they're like, okay, this is past the six-week timeline for Damian Dunn. We would love to have him back for this game. Let's try to ramp him up in time for that. But, again, I don't know. He could have gotten his cast off last week. We'll find out today.
George, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. All the best in 2025 to you.
Thank you, guys. You too.
All right, that's George Michalowski from Pittsburgh Sports Now. Pitt will take on Cal today. 10-2 Pitt, 7-5 Cal. They're 0-1 in the ACC. The Panthers are 1-0, and that's a 2 p.m. tip-off with Bill Hillgrove and Curtis Aiken. We have a pregame at 1:30 as Pitt tries to go 2-0 in the ACC. Want to remind you about the 15-minute mark on the Fan. It's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram at Route 19, Peters Township. Is it route or route? What do you say, route or route?
I say route.
Route, route. Whatever. It is the 15-minute mark. That's all that matters on the Fan. Brought to you by South Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route, Route 19 in Peters Township. Also, listen to Pomp and Joe Show every Wednesday to hear about Joe Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 p.m. at 93.7thefan.com contesting page. I'm going to give you the weather right now, which is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. We have 0% financing on all 2024 Chevrolet EV models up to 60 months through January the 3rd with credit through GMC Financial. Unlike yesterday, it's not going to get into the 50s for a high temperature. Today, 37. You have a 35% chance of snow. And I know the people down at KDK TV, our meteorologist team, that's a tough word to say also, led by Ray Patlin, say that it is a first alert day. You're going to see some snow coming in. Temperatures are going to tank. And by Saturday, the high temperature only supposed to be in the low 20s for the Steelers and the Bengals.